Morning, Rob.
How are you guys?
Rob, how are you?
Good.
Doing well. Good. Very well.
Good.
So where are you these days, Rob?
I'm in Nashville.
Nashville, okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's my 3-year-old says Nashville.
Extra syllable in there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get rid of this malware thing.
Mary's joining us, but Mary's about 3 minutes late to every call we do because
can't get on.
Well, she's got a homeschool in sixth grade or seventh grade. I'm not sure what he is. Maybe in high school. That is challenging her every moment.
Really?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to be a mom and be
a
business lady. It's really tough these days. Let me see if I can get on here. So what are you guys finding? What are you hearing?
Well, go ahead, Tim.
I'll jump in with, have you talked at all with Rick Lindquist? I might as well go there first. I know when we had it last time, I know I've mentioned it to Ben a couple times, but I chuckle when you always say they take certain guys in and they put them in training. And I think you kind of nailed it last time, but he had gone dark on me for a while. And, couldn't get him to an email, no response. You call and all of a sudden, like, there's no voicemail or it's not set up. And so it was just really weird. And he had said how they were, they redid, they were looking to relaunch. And then finally I connected with him this week and he said they were looking to, relaunch maybe later this month in, two territories, Oklahoma/Arkansas and Ohio/Pennsylvania. And so he's like, I'll be back to you here, shortly, to see how you guys can help us. But he'd kind of been dark for a while. So I was curious if you've talked to him or what happened with your relationship with him.
I've turned to, as we say, when we're about to fire somebody, we're going in a different direction.
Yeah.
What I've done is, move towards this guy, Carlos Noriega. He sounds like a drug lord.
I was going to say.
but he runs a group, the virtual, engagement associates. Have you ever heard of him?
No, they're with Morgan Stanley.
Yep. They're inside. They've got 60 guys now. I think you pay about $3,000 a year and they take care of your internet, marketing basically. So they go in and fix your website, fix your LinkedIn, fix your Facebook, fix your whatever you're using. And then they, develop a program for you and then they communicate and they do it all.
Oh.
It's like hiring another guy for $3,000.
Yeah.
And they can use their pre-tax dollars. So I'm going to have a call with him, right after this. So I got to get off at the half hour.
So are they advisors or do they just provide that service?
They provide that service for advisors.
Okay.
So, it's kind of cool and it gets rave reviews from the advisors, which is, advisors don't give rave reviews for anything that comes from the home office.
No, that is true.
So to me, they're really, kind of taken over for Rick Lindquist. They're just kind of gone in and said, now if they did, whatever, everybody's kind of providing their own thing. You guys are providing a real service. I've got a new client, who I'm just working with and he sent me his client list and what a mess. He didn't send the names, but he sent what it looks like and it's just a mess, right? It's just, it's just a whole bunch of people. A lot of them don't pay them. A lot of them, you know, a lot of them don't have any money. What are they, why are they on there? Why does he even have them as accounts, right? They don't have money. They don't pay him. And so, you know, and looking at his practice, I mean, he's got like 160 clients or something like that. And 60 of them we can give away without even noticing.
Crazy.
I mean, it's just like, whoa, where have you been? What are you doing? So I don't know. Maybe some of them are annuities that, you know, once paid him a lot of money and now he keeps them around or something. I don't know. But some of them, you know, that would show up as assets, I would think. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm working on a presentation right now, Rob, that's just compiling the data from all the bars we've done. And the averages are staggering. Like just like stuff like that where you could drop 60. The average we see is they could drop a third of their households and maintain 96% of the revenue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like three households on average, three top 50% households replace all of the bottom 4%. So for the average person, that's three households replacing 67
households. What if they drop 50%?
50% of households?
Yeah.
It's about 80% of revenue.
80%?
Yeah.
50% of their households. Okay.
So yeah, so 50% are generating 20%. Roughly. I don't have the exact number, but roughly. And then you start to, then you take like, you know, client service model and say, what's it take to service 3A clients versus these 100 C clients they're not talking to? And it's just this massive discrepancy. Like,
you know, well, and what happens is these guys say, well, they don't bother me, you know, but they do. They kill your sales.
They do. They do. They
kill your client associate. They murder them. And their value proposition is call me if you need me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's their model.
So they
do call and they do bother them because they've been given permission to on anything. Go ahead.
So as we're 6 months into this pandemic, basically, what are you finding today when you're coaching people? Is it similar coaching pre-pandemic? Is
everything's the same except for the use of the folders.
Okay.
They had to go to some kind of electronic communications, which I think is a healthy thing anyway.
Yeah.
I want them to go back in the office and use the folders, but I want them to keep communicating and storing things electronically. Okay, because the folders provide a different service. They provide the other things, the enthusiastically endorsed list, introductions given and received, other information about the client. But your notes and things, they can be held electronically. So we're working on trying to make our system as much electronic as we can, and we upgraded the scheduler. But I'm finding virtually no difference. In fact, in some cases, productivity's gone up and they're being more efficient and getting more meaningful client contact.
Have you read the book Atomic Habits, Rob? I'm reading it now. I'm probably three quarters of the way through it. So much of the stuff they talk about just reminds me of what you do at Supernova. Like, how do you form habits? Like, you take away the barriers and keep it front and center in your life, like the folders just being physically there so you don't forget to do it.
Right. Yeah.
It's a good read. He tried to stretch the book out beyond what it should have been. So like,
a little redundant. They always do that.
But the first half is really good.
Right. That, I mean, how often is that the case, right? the rest of the book is just repeating what he said with different examples, right?
Like there's a chapter on like, if you want to form a habit, make it pleasant. And then the next chapter is, if you want to stop a habit, make it unpleasant. It's like, well, it's the same thing. But there's some really good concepts in the front half of it. But a lot reminds me of just stuff that you talk about in Supernova that, it's human instinct of how you create good habits. But yeah, I recommend it. It's pretty easy read.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim Lehrer talks about in his book, The Power of Full Engagement, talks about rituals. Versus the term habits, he calls them rituals, and the amount of discipline it takes to form a ritual and how we each have the same amount of discipline. But once we formed a quote habit or a ritual, it should stay there. Larry Wilson used to say, how long does it take to form a habit? Everybody would say 20 days. And he said, no, it takes as long as it takes. You know, it's interesting, right? Because we know it takes as long as it takes. In some cases, it never becomes a habit. It's still always hard work. You know, for some people, working out is not something that they want to ever do.
Yeah.
They have to have a coach or a trainer or a partner, you know, somebody that shows up to run with them or bike with them. So
Other thing. I just remembered this. I wrote it down last night. So I'm walking. I listen to the book now. I'm walking my 3-month-old son around at night to put him to bed. And it made me think so much of the niche marketing stuff you talk about. They talk about a comparison of if you walk into a gym and you see a bodybuilder, you know, he's the strongest guy there. You think, you know, this guy has been successful and is working out and all this stuff. But when you put him up against someone who focuses on arm wrestling, he's going to lose. Not because that arm wrestler is stronger, but because he has focused his attention on a very narrow skill set. I thought, what to niche marketing, where like you don't need to be the biggest advisor or the biggest team with all these bells and whistles. You need to be very focused, be the arm wrestler, and you'll win that arm wrestling match each time.
That's a good analogy.
I thought it was, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I mean, look, we're all learning. It's, you know, it's constant. I wrote down, I'm going to do a webinar with Bill Cates, which you guys are welcome to. I'll make sure you get invited. But it's not actually, I think it's going to be a Zoom call. And what I wrote down questions for myself to answer, you know, and included questions about COVID and stuff like that. And what do you think separates the best teams from the rest? And you know, you guys, if you've read my material, you know the answers. Really well organized, know their roles and responsibilities, hold themselves and others accountable through regularly scheduled appointments, prepare by practicing presentations, know their scripts, and use powerful words. And then the last one, which I thought of last night, which would be having a written pipeline, have a pipeline, right, that they actually look at every day. Yeah. So.
But that's the key, is getting them to look at it every day, and not just putting something in there to appease management.
Use every day. I mean, that's the teams that are growing do that. And the interesting thing is you guys venture into the other world of insurance sales and annuity sales and people like that. And you know, the kind of the MetLife people and the, you know, whatever they've changed their name to today, but those people live and die by the pipeline, and they can teach us a lot about How do you manage a pipeline? And you never have a problem with them in the pipeline. They don't want to annuitize business. They want to sell annuities and sell life insurance and things that give them big commissions. Whereas the other guys, they don't want to sell life insurance and annuities because they want everything to go into that 1% fee. You know, so it's a completely different mindset. So when we coach Supernova for them, we can't coach it the same way. You can't do, they'll have 1,000 relationships. So you can't do 12-4-2. You can take the top 30 clients that they manage money for and do 12-4-2 with them. And then you take the next 200 and you do butlers with them. And the other two, you do twice a year, you contact them. So it's a different, you know, you got to create kind of a different model for those guys, but you can coach them just like you can coach regular FAs. And they're a lot of fun for me because they're fabulous at marketing. They're constantly acquiring business where our guys are constantly, you know, servicing the beehive, right? It's like a bunch of bees that, you know, are there to service the beehive versus the guys going out and getting the honey.
Oh, and the NASDAQ's up 30% in a year. What more do you need?
Well, that's true, isn't it? It's just shocking. So how are you guys doing in terms of sales? Have they decided that they don't need a sales force yet?
Rob, I just wanted to make a comment on what you were talking about, the different type of advisors and how you coach them. That I think you get that with wholesalers too, that being with a smaller firm like a Touchstone, I think there's wholesalers that are maintainers and those that are builders. And you're a maintainer if you're at a bigger shop, if you were at an Oppenheimer.
American Funds, yeah.
Because you have access whenever you want it and you get in. All you got to do is go give a fancy little presentation or speech, as opposed to somebody like us. We don't get in. They don't want to necessarily hear our fancy little speech. So you got to be more the builder. So kind of like what you're saying about the different type of advisors and the businesses they run, I think you see that in wholesaling as well.
I used to call the American Funds guys the Maytag salesmen.
Yeah. All right. they all had smiles.
I guess it's just getting one of those jobs, right? They're hard to get and they never leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're, you know, frankly, their funds do great, you know?
Yeah.
So
they've got nice little lives.
Yeah. And it used to piss me off because as a manager, they would give me nothing. And we did a lot of business with them. So it just riled me. Cause I always found that, you know, I wanted it. I called it the three-legged stool. You know, it was me, you know, management, the FAs and them. And they were part of my three-legged stool. And I thought they brought value. And then I tell them, I need a couple things from you. I need marketing leverage. And I need good ideas. Yeah. So bring me good ideas and marketing, either marketing ideas or marketing money. And they were great. You know, most of them were terrific. Mm-hmm. And I relied on it. I thought they, you know, you guys see a lot. You're like the bees going out and getting the honey. You get to see a lot of different things and you pick up on good ideas. And frankly, you were a good source of intelligence for me. Confidentially, I used to have confidential lunches and things where nobody talked about what we weren't talking about what we were talking about.
Yeah, right. I'm sure.
But and nobody ever got in trouble for it, but it helped me to understand what was going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And you know, it just was a great alert system for me. Anyway, other guys were idiots and they would block people, wouldn't let them in their offices, treated them like garbage. You know.
We see some of that too.
Freaking rude, you know, just rude.
It is. It doesn't take much to be decent.
I would say, look, make appointments. You want to meet somebody, make appointments with them. And you know, we'll work together. So it was always a good, relationship. You know, it's people are not really very smart, are they?
You said it.
They really aren't. They're not, you know, there are very few of them that would make good Russian agents. You know, I love the, I always use the analogy of the American.
Oh, Rob freeze up.
I was going to say, was that just me or? I think you froze.
Oh, you still here? You froze up.
Americans. Did you ever watch that show?
You still there, Rob?
You guys froze up.
Oh, froze up for us.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm still.
We're all here.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right. It says my internet is unstable. The Americans, did you ever see that show?
Yeah.
About the Russian spies.
It was good. I like that show.
Well, you talk about people that have a mission, right? And our prospectors, they need to break into a company like Lockheed or whatever. They need to get a stealth, you know, what's the stealth paint made of? They figure it out. Now they do it unethically.
Yeah. Kill people,
just think of RFAs where that intense and do it ethically.
Yeah.
Just basically figure out a way to get in, become the expert of the world in that particular company. Like you said, arm wrestle, focus, become the world champion at Lockheed. So you know everything more than the HR director. How much value could you bring? It's a simple business, right?
Yeah.
But people want to make it really complicated.
I can't tell you how many times in management I've wanted to just say, just figure it out. Like just go figure out a way to do it. This is what we're paying you to do. Figure it out.
But they wouldn't make very good Russian spies, most of them. They're not dedicated enough. They're not focused enough. They're not smart enough. I mean, they're smart, book smart, you know. Clearly they're smart enough to get this job and to keep it, but not smart enough to figure out how simple it is. They just have to be very focused.
Yeah.
Anyway, so are we generating any new interest in Supernova?
We are. And there's Miss Mock joining us now. She's probably got some color to add here. But yeah, it's becoming a part of my everyday language now. Honestly, we don't have many engagements that aren't Supernova relevant anymore.
How about opportunities to refer business to us?
I don't have any right now.
I don't have any now either, but.
I mean, when I meet some of these guys, hey, Mary.
Hi. I still can't get on my computer. I'm just on my phone now. I've given up. So it says that your Smithers call is still in process. So I'm going to try to uninstall it. I apologize for being late.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of Smithers, what do you think? Hey.
So I will tell you, I really thought that was the best call we've had. I meant it when I said that at the end. And I think what he said was so telling, which was, you know, it's really hard for me to get to this stuff while I'm trying to go through triage, which duh, that's the whole issue, right? So we're going to hold their hands. I think we'll be able to get them there. I really, prior to yesterday, I would have said slim to none, but, I think there's a chance now. So we'll see how they do next week.
Yeah, at least
we have them on Tuesday.
At least they were civil, you know.
Yeah.
Were they not before?
Not particularly.
Not a little indignant.
Yeah.
And I think in reality, though, I mean, it's the same like epidemic that most advisors have who have a strong income stream. His earnings are so great. And he can still afford to pay his son a great salary. And he really, is not super incentivized to do something. But what he doesn't understand is if he really wants to leave his son a legacy, he really needs to change the way he's operating long term. And short term, if he wants to be able to water ski and do fun things, well, you can't do that when you've got to work dawn to dusk to not have a book laden with compliance risks for having, what is it, 425 clients? So
yeah. So it's, yeah, it's, it, you're right. We're just talking about, I just got another new client and in Columbus, Georgia, and he's, after meeting him and going through it, I'm thinking to myself how sad it is that I can't service more clients.
Yeah.
Because this guy is a happy mess. You know, he's a complete mess, but he's a really good guy and he really wants to do Supernova. And he's so attentive and so happy to be doing it. It's like I have just, you know, pulled him out of the ocean and he's laying on the beach saying, "Thank God you saved me."
So I used to wholesale Columbus, Georgia, and it's not Rick Swift. I can't remember the guy's name, I think, but he used to be Morgan, then he went to Raymond James, and he is like the biggest advisor in that town.
Yeah.
And he's such a nice guy. Is it Rick Swift?
No. Wait a minute. Let me look.
His name is, I don't know why that name's sticking out to me, but he was so nice. And then I think when he left and he went to Raymond James, I think he went to Raymond James. Like everybody followed him. And he's not that old. Well, the older I get, the younger people seem, but he's probably mid-50s at best.
Hey, guys, I'm going to jump off in a minute because I got a call here.
Yeah, I do too. Derek Shivner. Derek Shivner with Morgan Stanley. He's a branch manager in Columbus, Georgia. Oh my God, so nice. I mean, you know, I have those two calls back to back, you know, and it's like, wow, what a difference. Even when they were nice this week, you know, he's so much nicer. Anyway, I got the same thing. I got to get off too in 1 minute.
Okay. Hey, before we go, and I'm sorry that I was late. I was getting a homeschooler on. Can I catch up with you in a little while at some point in the next couple of days to ask for some help with the Peninsula Group in Michigan?
Sure.
Tommy's having trouble. Schindler, he's having trouble reconnecting with them for some reason. Maybe it's a virtual thing, but we thought we could pick your brain for a minute if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.